We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Deb, as a finance committee member, tell us what you most like and dislike about Governor Chafee's latest budget.
Well, I love his commitment to education. Once again, he's funding public education, $38 million. And for the second year, he has $10 million in the budget so that there's not an increase at URI, RIC, and CCRI, the state colleges. I was a little disappointed to see that a lot of the work around the budget is contingent on the Marketplace Fairness Act, which means something has to happen, of all places, on Capitol Hill. Now, the Senate has approved that, but the U.S. House, which can't agree on anything, hasn't.
And that's a federal law that would put a tax on internet retailers.
That's correct. So that was curious. And I was just a little disappointed to not see anything around the estate tax in Rhode Island. That's a bill that I've put in for the past 3 years to raise the exemption and to take away the cliff, because we have pretty onerous estate tax laws here. And that bill is in again to remove the cliff and raise the exemption to $1.5 million.
People like yourself argue that that estate tax encourages upper income people to leave Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. Why has it been so difficult to make some changes on that?
Well, first of all, what is a little onerous about the law, unlike other states, is in Rhode Island, you are taxed. The exemption now is $922,000. When I first started putting this bill in, it was $850,000. So it's gone up about $71,000. But if you have an estate and you die and it's at $1 million, you would think you're paying a tax from 922 to $1 million. But the way the law is written, you're paying on the aggregate. So you're paying on $1 million. That's the cliff that needs to be removed. And I believe the business community and people are finally getting the message across. And I believe in my heart of hearts that this will be the year that we raise the exemption, because even in 3 years, it'll be at $1 million, right? So,
but why has it been such a tough lift so far to raise that exemption?
First of all, because the state does receive certain amount of dollars. So on the fiscal notes that I've received when I put the bill in, it could be that the state would lose $3, $4, $6 million, depending on where that exemption is, is why it's a rounding error in an $8.2 billion budget last year, right?
Right. Let's go to Scott.
On the sales tax, there's a lot of talk, particularly among some of your constituents over on the east side of Narragansett Bay, about lowering the sales tax. What do you think about that? What are you hearing? Is it feasible, given the tight and precariously balanced budget, for us to be making major changes in the sales tax right now?
Exactly. I mean, what do you do with $900,000 that you don't have coming into the budget? At the same time, again, the governor's budget is contingent on the Fairness Marketplace Act, which is the congressional bill. And if that should pass in the U.S. House, he has plans to lower the 7% tax to 6.5%. Are those the right taxes to look at?
Is it better to cut the corporate tax, or is it better to cut the sales tax?
Well, that's also contingent on his budget. Maybe there's a way to do a little bit of both, but I think you have to look at what the implications are. You know, seeing the state in a big picture and then being able to drill down and ask a lot of questions on just these issues.
Nobody asked those questions when 38 Studios was up.
Well, 38 Studios was a deal that Governor Kachiri did with his friend Kurt Schilling. He's the one who gave him the $75 million.
Didn't look like too many people asked questions in the State House.
That was a $100 million jobs appropriation bill that we did for small business. And then it was, you're right, and that was a horrible deal.
Mediation is continuing over the pension overhaul law passed by the General Assembly in 2011. Are you receptive to changes if that comes back before the General Assembly to the pension overhaul?
That's a curious thing that's going on, Ian, because when you look at the fact that the party that has to make changes, the legislature, isn't even privy to any of the conversations.
Right, but if a settlement comes out of mediation, it will come back before the General Assembly, which doesn't have to take action on it. Are you receptive to changes in the pension law?
We don't know if it would come this year, next year, 5 years from now. And who knows what it looks like. I mean, it's like any bill that you see. You have to read it. You have to look at it. You certainly can't say yes or no to
something. Okay, let's talk about something. Is it really fair to have teachers have to work till they're 62? Mm-hmm. Why was it set at that age? Do you think that that's a good policy? You voted for it, I know.
I did. I voted for the ability to save the state pension, because so many teachers work so hard, and the last thing you want them to do is not have a pension at the end of the day. And I agree, people don't want to work till 62, but some of the teachers I had were a lot older. And let me tell you, they were some of the most effective teachers. So I think that depends on a person's personal prerogative of how they want to live and what they want to do.
Where do you stand on whether the state should make the $12.5 million payment this year to repay 38 Studios investors?
Mm-hmm. I was very disappointed that we didn't have any takers for the RFP, because one of the questions I asked is, what are the ramifications if we do walk away from this? We do have insurance. So the other side of it is, what happens to our credit rating? And what will happen if it does sink and plummet? How will that impact the state's borrowing? Will we be made an example of? Because, quite frankly, we are Rhode Island. We're not New York, California, and Texas. And the other part of that is, when you look at the governor's budget, $275 million in bonds, if we walk away from a payment, how does that happen? How does that affect the bonding that we need for mass transit, for education, for the arts?
We're talking here with State Representative Deborah Ruggiero of Jamestown. Your Republican colleague Brian Newberry argues that it would be less costly for taxpayers to not make the payment to 38 Studios investors. Do you find his argument persuasive?
He's entitled to his opinion, and I absolutely want information. As I have said before, it is a lot of money to make a payment on, and I want to know, what are the benefits? You know, why? You cannot do good policy without good data, and we need good data.
You've been very involved in some of the gun control aspects. And what I'm wondering is, it looks like all of the public opinion polling and surveys show that most citizens in Rhode Island and even across the country want tighter gun control. Yet, it doesn't happen. And the passion seems to be more on the side of the single issue of gun rights folks. Are we going to see any movement on this issue this year? We didn't see anything last year in Rhode Island.
Right. What we saw last year was
a lot of talk, frankly.
Behavioral Health Firearm Safety Task Force, which I co-chaired with my colleague, Kathy Cool Rumsey, from the Senate. And you will see recommendations coming forth on that. But that's not looking at the gun. We're looking at the person. And weighing mental health issues and rights with public safety is something that we really need to balance, especially, you know, when you look at the gun ownership as well. You're right. There's an incredible lobby for people who want to protect their right to own guns. And that is a Second Amendment right. So part of what we're looking at with the task force is the ability to, if anybody has a mental health issue, you know, whether you're in the NRA or the PTA, no one wants anyone with mental health issues to have access to a gun. And we don't want any of those hideous, horrible crimes.
Why do we have assault weapons anyway? It seems to me you're giving the criminals the right to have better weapons than the cops.
That has been the argument.
Voters in Exeter recently rejected a recall election to displace some town councilors, and that was a gun-related thing. Is that vote having any impact on the committee that you're a part of that's looking at these issues?
No, and one of the things that we have to really keep focused on is the purview of this task force. If you read the legislation, it is to determine, why does Rhode Island not submit mental health records to NICS, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System? What are other states' best practices? And if we should report to NICS, we have to develop by federal law a disqualifiers review board so a person has due process. So I remind people, we cannot go on a frolic and a detour with all of these other issues. We need to stay focused on what our task is before this 20-member task force.
What are your legislative priorities for this year?
Well, besides the recommendations from the task force, you'll see some policy from that, I'm sure. That's the bills that we'll submit. Obviously, distributed generation is a really big concern of mine. I sponsored that legislation back in 2011 when I chaired the Small Business Renewable Energy Task Force.
What does that mean?
Distributed generation are renewable energy projects, wind, solar, that are tied to the grid right here in Rhode Island. Which means that people are employed, projects happen in our communities, and there's revenues. Some examples would be the solar array at the landfill in East Providence. And so a developer can go to the bank and get financing because National Grid is buying this renewable energy from the developer, say, over 15 years. That DG bill expires this year, so we're working with Grid, the Enviros, everyone to get an extension on that, because that program has been so successful.
Why don't we buy Canadian hydropower, which is much cheaper and
you
a much better way to go?
You sound just like Governor Chafee. The only problem there is the transmission lines. It's a little costly.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Representative Deborah Ruggiero.
Thank you so much. Pleasure.